Hey, pass the salt.
It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Now you can't make this up. I got this on my phone. I don't know. Does this look backwards? Do you guys see that, or does this image make it backward? You can see it? And so that image says what? Can somebody read that image to me? 70 people. I can't read. Oh, go ahead, Jared. Read that for me.
70 people who like Salt and Light Brigade Disaster Relief haven't heard from you in a while. Write a post.
I'm banned! I'm banned on Facebook! And then they always say, hey, would you like to boost this post for $38? And I'm banned! And then you know what's crazy? You're banned on Facebook, and people come in and they make all kinds of vile comments about something you posted 60 days ago, and you can't even... Can't even respond to it. Good morning. Good morning. Oh, my goodness. No, this is not. I am not a theme show kind of guy. Okay. No, we're not going to go. Larry, what is your favorite thing about Christmas? JR, give us your favorite Christmas story. No, we're not going to. So if you got up to do that, then you can go back to bed because we ain't going to do that. I'm not going to waste that time. We will take tomorrow off Christmas Day only because my wife wants to sleep in, I think. And so she knows if I get up, she can't sleep in. I don't want to be Mr. Ball Humbug today because I just don't. But I'm going to be a little bit Ball Humbug. Hey, I went to the Browns game, Cleveland Browns game. I have to thank my buddy, Coach Norm, my longest and bestest old buddy and my coaching comrade for a long time. He treated me. He bought me the ticket. He bought me lunch. He paid $25 to park. I hadn't been to a Cleveland Browns game. They're really getting good, by the way. I hadn't been to Cleveland Browns game and golly, I don't know. I went with my, since I've been sober, maybe that'd be it. Since I've been sober and I say Dale came in and the Saints won. I know he's all happy about that. But you know what was amazing thing? We drive all the way up there. It's close to 3 hours for me to get up to Cleveland. And Coach and I rode up together and his son, John. And we go in, we get in our seats and I look up behind me. We're up pretty high, by the way. Like we're sitting here. Only a little bit higher. I look four rows behind me. And there's Mark Collier. You say, who? Coach Emmett, Coach Dobb, and Coach Collier. We were the three musketeers in our coaching career. And he's sitting four rows behind me with his two children. Now, I think, what are the odds of that with 65,000 people there? And so, he lives here. He here lives here locally. Coach Collier lives here. Hardly ever seen. And I thought, this is, Lord, you are amazing. But you know, the Browns won. It, actually, you guys probably don't care, but they're 4-1-1 in their division. They have the best record in the division. Better than Pittsburgh, better than Baltimore. They played the Colts. It's amazing. So they've been really, really lousy. So it's a real rebirth of football in Cleveland. Like I say this, I know now why I don't go more often. It really, really grieves me. Say, Coach, you don't even know how to have fun at all. Yeah, I do. I have a lot of fun. I guess it's just a matter of what you consider to be fun. And $25 to park. $25 to park in a city parking garage. But it's just on the outside of a city. And not only out on the city parking garage, it has the rates. All-day parking, $10, except for the Browns game, and it's $25. How do they get away with that, by the way? The stadium is funded by the public, and you got to pay $25. But that's not what I want to go about. I was amazed. Let me get this off my chest, then I'll feel better. Okay, stay with me. Then I was amazed. I walk in the stadium, And as soon as I get in the stadium, here comes this guy carrying a tray of food. And I looked at my buddy Norm. That's the craziest thing I've ever seen. Why would you come into the stadium and buy a $9 hot dog when you have before you come to the stadium, stop and get yourself a McDonald's hamburger? And I got thinking, you know, it's about the experience, isn't it? It is about the experience. And it shows, listen to me. It shows what you will really pay for what you really serve. That's scary. She's talking to me. I need to push it. It shows what you will really pay for who you really serve. And it kind of grieved me as I was sitting there. And, you know, you would think sometimes I could just let my hair down and have fun. I do. I did sit down and watch the game, had fun, let my hair down. But, you know, you got spirit eyes, spirit ears. You see and you hear. And, you know, most America's so lost. They're just so lost. And you see guys come in and they're wearing, I'm not making this up. Cleveland Browns stadium's called the Dog Pound, or a section of it's the Dog Pound. Woof, 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 woof. I don't know that. Somebody gave him, Hanford Dixon, I think it was, gave him that name 30 years ago, the Dog Pound. And people come in and they're wearing hats of dogs with Christmas trees dangling down the side of them. And I just sit there. I must be a horrible guy to be around. I'm thinking, Lord, what is with us? We would put Christmas trees on a Cleveland Browns dog head. And we think it's appropriate. Wearing Christmas sweaters, paying $9 for beers and drinking beers, a guy coming back, he's got 2 6-packs of beers. And just, we're sick, aren't we? We Americans are sick. And if you don't think that there are elements of our society that worship, it's entertainment, isn't it? It's escapism. They worship the Cleveland Browns. They worship the Cincinnati Bengals. They worship the New Orleans Saints. There you go, Dale. I saw that play where they won at the end. They worship. And it just shows that this, just deep inside the heart of man, is just a real, real hunger. Real, real hunger for something. I don't know what it was. So I'm glad I went. I hate to bore you with, but I want you to think about that kind of stuff, folks. That you will put your money. Boy, didn't the Bible say something about that? Where man's treasure is, there his heart will be also. Man, oh man, oh man, oh man. So good Christmas Eve morning. A lot to talk with you about. I was going to do kind of a flea flicker thing. In fact, I guess I will. But you know me, I got to start it out bad. Let me make the premise here. Trying to think how to do this. We got Christianity wrong. We got Christianity wrong. I'm going to tell you this. Tonight, when you go to your Christmas Eve service, wherever that might be, most of you are probably going to go one or go to one in the morning. Remember when I was a kid, I was a lost little Catholic boy. We went to midnight mass, and there was something, I don't know, something magical about midnight mass when we would go to that. When you go tonight, wherever you go, I want you to stop and think, listen, listen, hey, listen. Listen to the songs that you sing. And you're going to come to the realization that most of the songs that you sing are about you and what Christ did for you. Now, he did it for me too. And I'm grateful. I thank him every day. But he did not come to enhance my life. And if we were to really, really, if we could get down to the nitty gritty of why Jesus had to come on that cross, if we really began to teach that once again in our churches, we would see a radical transformation of the American society. I believe if we did. If we could get that in the hearts of people, that Christ didn't come to die for you, He came to set you free from the clutches of this earth so you could better serve him. That's the story. He didn't come to make you healthy, wealthy, and wise, and make you happy, and just make your life so good here while on earth. That isn't why he did it. He calls you, I'm going to get there, right? Well, let's go there now, Jared. Let's go there right there. Say, go where, coach? You got to tell me where. Well, let's go there right now. Let's go to, I'm looking. Hey, somebody can jump in here anytime you want to. It's okay with me. Where did I put that, Jared? Where did I put it? Oh, my goodness. Did I send you the wrong thing? I don't think I did. Why did Jesus come? Here it is. Hey, Jared, go to Galatians. This is for Roger. How you doing today, Roger? Are you in here? He probably slept in. How's your knee doing? Roger had that knee surgery. He's sleeping in. No, he's there. How you doing, Rog? My wife and I were going to come over and visit you the other night. We didn't. We thought about you. We thought about coming over. But we didn't. Roger had knee surgery. Hope he's getting better. Galatians 2:20. I want you to think about this as we get up. Tonight's Christmas Eve. Tomorrow's Christmas morning. We sit around our tree and, oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. This is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Or, what? Away in a manger, no crib for. And we sing these songs that are emotional and make us feel good. In fact, we sing them because, really, they make us feel good. Brings back memories when we were children. Sometimes bad memories. My dad was always a grouch around Christmas time. I think he had horrible memories of Christmas as a kid growing up, I think. I don't know. Didn't bring back good memories for him. A lot of people kill themselves at Christmas time because of the memories they have, sense of loneliness. So I'm in Galatians 2. Did I say that, Jared? You got it up here for me, bud? Let me see. Folks, I'm sorry. Stream of consciousness. I'm all over the place, but I think I've gone somewhere today, okay? Jared, let's go back down a little bit, Jared. Let's go about 15. I'm just feeling 15. I don't know why. Okay. Go to 14. When I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if you, being a Jew, live like the lost folk, and not as do the Jews, why do you compel the Gentiles to become Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified. Was Tim Tebow or Tim to begin to talk about that? That we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Stay with me. I'm going somewhere, please. This is the Christmas story right here. This is the Christmas story. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? Best life now, life enhancement gospel. So you're living your life however you want to, and God's blessing you, and you're happy, and what? Verse 18, for if I build again the things which I destroyed, if I come and I support the things that Christ died for, then I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. Here's where I'm going. For I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. You're not I. But Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Can I stop right there and throw this out there? Why? Why did Christ die and give himself for me? See, that is the Christmas message. And I hate to tell you this. It wasn't merely to get you saved. If Christ died to take away the fear of death, we know that it says that, right? He took away the fear, conquered death, hell, and the grave. He took away all that men who for their whole lives were feared of death. If Christ took away that fear of death from us, why? That's not a rhetorical question. That's a question. Why did Christ die for us? Was it so we could, as he says right here, go back and enjoy those things that he called us out of? Did he die on the cross so that I could go wear a dog pound hat with the Christmas tree hanging from it? Is that why he did? That I would go and take his birthday, which he didn't even celebrate. His birthday is never, not even mentioned really, other than, I mean, it's mentioned, but we don't know when it was. And he does, well, they don't celebrate it every year. We don't go through history and see Christ's birthday being celebrated. Why? He said, if he died for all that stuff, why did he return to that stuff? Why did he go back to that stuff? So the question we have to ask ourselves as we're sitting around with our children, our grandchildren under the Christmas tree, why did Christ die for us? The floor is open. I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Not I. Christ liveth in me. Why did Jesus die for us?
Well, that's the whole purpose of the gospel, is to explain why Jesus died for us and what we're to do about it.
Okay, so what is it, Larry? Well, I'm not yelling at Larry. What is it? What is it? And are we teaching to our children the real meaning of Christmas? See, we hear about that all the time, the war on Christmas, the real meaning of Christmas. What is the real meaning of Christmas? Do you want me to tell you what I think it is, or do you want to, guys want to go on? Because I can tell you what I think it is. Here's what I think it is. I think the real meaning of Christmas is this. Christ died on the cross to set us free from death, hell, and the grave, set us free from our sins, to rescue us from hell so that we're no longer afraid to be a soldier in his army. That's what I think. Why else would you be afraid of death? Because I die daily, the scripture says. I got to die daily. Why? Because sacrificial death. He didn't die to make me happy here so I can go to the Browns game and wear a dog pound hat with the Christmas trees on it. He came so that I might help him destroy the works of the devil, that I might occupy till he comes, that I might lay down my life. Galatians 2:20, crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Matthew 16, what is it, Jared? Matthew 16, let's go there while I'm waiting for somebody else. Come on, why? What's the real meaning of Christmas, boys and girls?
I think you mean Mark 16, Coach.
What's that? No, I meant Matthew. Matthew 16, I think. Pretty sure. Go to 24, Jared, see if I know. Yeah. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man comes after me, he better deny himself and take up his cross. Somebody help me out here. Why would you have to take up a cross? If he died on the cross, why do you have to take one up? For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then his shall reward every man, Larry, according to his works. It's through grace that you're saved, and not works, but there ought to be works following your grace.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
I thought I had to while you're saying this is not having the fear of death after you get to know Christ gives you the boldness and the courage to stand out and go and do those works. You're afraid of the forces of evil and darkness that are coming against you. You're not going to be courageous and be a martyr, which is nothing more than a witness.
Right.
So basically, that's it. You get the courage and the boldness knowing this fact that his death did this for us.
Hey, Jared, Ray just hit on something. Go to Webster's, look up martyr. So listen, are you when you sit around your Christmas tree tomorrow and your grandkids and your kids are opening up all that stuff that you gave them that they didn't even need, are you making sure that they know that Christ died on that cross so that they might die for him? Are we teaching that to our kids? Ray brought up martyr. Martyr. Look at that. One who suffers death in defense of any cause. One who, by his death, bears witness to the truth of the gospel. That's a martyr. Stephen was the first Christian martyr. Say, Coach, why are you talking about this stuff on Christmas? Because I think it's important that we hear it all the time. But let's keep Christ in Christmas. The real meaning of Christmas. Well, the real meaning of Christmas is to lay down your life. To martyr is to put to death for adhering to one who believes to be the truth. To sacrifice one on account of his faith or profession. Are we teaching, preparing our children and grandchildren to be martyred? And should we? Come on. You ho-ho, ding-dong, sleigh bell ringing. Folk are kind of quiet out there today. What's the real meaning of Christmas?
Hey, Kevin. Well, Christmas is one time in the year when I actually get the family to sit still enough long enough to reinforce the true meaning and true history and legacy of Christmas. Other times there's too much activity going on.
Because it's the same thing, see? You know how I can make everybody happy? Oh, what if I brought them tickets to the Browns game for Christmas? Oh, that'd be good. Go ahead, Jeff.
Well, that was kind of funny. Larry used the word legacy. That's exactly what I was going to say. Pastor Bill and I have talked about this before. What would your great-great-grandkids say about you? Most people don't even know what their grandfather did, let alone their great-great-grandfather, but it's that legacy. So mm-hmm. You can probably put that in a nutshell. What you said is to carry on the legacy of Jesus Christ. That'll mm-hmm. pass down as a legacy of yours that you lived your life that way.
That's right. And that he calls us to lay down our lives. Okay, so let me help you out here a second. Jared, I sent you. Somebody else want to come in?
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, George.
You know, I love Christmas. I think it's a great time of the year. But I think we also.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
But you know, I think we also insult our holy God in so many levels. Think about this, Coach. How would you like to have your birthday celebrated on the day that it wasn't really your birthday? You know, historically, Jesus' birthday is probably in September. And we can prove that historically. So we start with a false premise that it's not really even his actual birthday. And then we just go on from there, like you're saying, with so many things that really don't honor the Lord.
Because it's, you know, it's fun for us. It's good. I have great memories of Christmas. I'm not a bah humbug guy about Christmas. But again, I think we are missing the message of Christmas. We give Christmas presents to people we don't even care about. And we, Michelle, God bless my wife. She sends out all these Christmas cards. I said, "Hey, why do you do that?" She says, "Well, just to let them know what we're thinking about them." I said, "Why don't you send them one in July? Why don't you send them one in August? Why don't you pick 10 people in July and send a card, 10 people in August and send them a card? Why do you send all these cards on Christmas?"
Tradition. Pick on your wife, Coach. She's awesome. Hey, yeah. Coach, can I jump in here?
Today, I hope you do.
Today, 29 years ago, is the day that I got baptized. This time of the year, this is when I got saved. And, brother, wow. I'm talking radically, fanatically saved. But George hit a great point. Jesus Christ was historically probably born during the time of Stupkov in the month of September. Mm-hmm. But if we go back 9 months from the point of conception, all of Christ became incarnate about the third week in December. Brother, it is such the pro-life message like never before. I shared yesterday, brother, look, I had people weeping in the church, and I was telling them when I closed, I said, children are so anticipating the excitement of the presence under the tree. Mm. I said, but are we teaching them and getting them excited about the presence of Christ who hung on the tree?
Amen, Dale. Hey. What's the message? Come on in, Matt.
Well, just first of all, Merry Christmas to you guys. But I think there's a lot of messages in the scripture for us to learn from what the real value of Christmas is and Christ dying on the cross. If you look at John chapter 15, verse 10, this is one very important scripture that I think we need to look at and talk to our kids about. It says, John 15:10 says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. It's about obedience. Mm-hmm. I think Christ dying on the cross provided an example, the most important example, of true obedience. His Father set that up. His Father said he had to do it, and he did it. And mm-hmm. I think for the family and everything else, it points out the fact that obedience is one of the most important things that we can do. I mean, Jesus dies on the cross because his Father tells him he's going to die on the cross.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, take this away from me, but you know, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. I'm going to do whatever you want me to do, Father.
Amen.
And that's, you know, we can look at all these things, but we need to, you know, look at things and say, okay, what's the most we can get out of this and apply it to our everyday lives, and have a Merry Christmas.
Bless you, Matt. Thanks. You know, I notice as we go on down there, it says verse 13, Jared. Is it, hey, guys, do you teach this under your, when you're doing your Christmas story on the tree, do you teach in verse 13? Greater love hath no man than this, than he would lay down his life for his friends. He says, you're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. You're my friend if you do whatsoever I command you. Wow. You've not chosen me, I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he's going to give it to you. Wow. Come on, I hear somebody knocking on the door. I'm not bah humbug. But if we continue to teach that Christmas and Christ is only about love, we appeal to the most base interests of man. It's all about me.
Hey, Coach.
Jesus died on the cross. Why? Yes, come on in.
Luke chapter 2. Brother, it resonates. We have taken our little text and making our theologies and taken text out of context. Luke chapter 2, when those angels appeared unto the shepherds after there was 400 years of dead silence. The Christmas story is incredible. And Luke's account of it and how he opened up chapter 1 even, he says, and I wanted to make sure everything was detailed and I put everything down in the chronological orders. When those angels appeared and they looked at the shepherds and they told them that the sign would be given unto them, there would be a baby born in Bethlehem in a manger. He said, and of that it says, and in peace on earth and goodwill towards men. And that's where Hallmark finishes their card. But the scripture says, peace on earth and goodwill towards men, whom with the Lord is pleased. That goes back to the obedience. And so I asked the people, I said, is God pleased with you? Is he? Because that's the question. Because if he's not, you're in a deep pile of caca.
Amen. 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 But see, we're taught he is pleased with us. He is pleased with everybody. Put a dog hat on and some Christmas trees hanging from it. And I'm not bah humbug, okay? What are we teaching our
Coach?
Children? Yes.
Yes, I'm just going to say that you mentioned earlier to carry our cross. I believe that we all carry our cross, and we are Christ crucified. We die we died to sin. And we must emphasize this. This is the most important part. That's for remission of sins. Christ died for the remission of sins.
And amen.
Even though it's Christmas, we have to emphasize this. And I believe you. You're right on there.
What if we grasp the very idea that Christ lives in us? What if we just grasp that? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but not I. Christ lives within me. So I can go get Christmas presents for everybody? Why is Christ living in me? What was the purpose of that? That incarnation. And I'm not saying bah humbug, enjoy Christmas, enjoy the birth, do all that stuff. But are we getting the right message to our children? Yes.
Hey coach, it's kind of, I've thought about this for years, but think about this for a minute. Christ paid the ultimate debt for us, right? I mean, mm-hmm. like you're talking about. Absolute ultimate debt that none of us on our own could pay. We were saved by grace. And then the average American gets into Babylonian debt that they pay off at least for the next year before they do it all over again. I mean, we've got it reversed, amen. Don't you think?
We do, brother. We do. We do. We do. We do. I was joking before I went on the show today. I got to start my Christmas shopping today. As soon as the show's over, I got to start shopping. And I what I go buy my wife? What am I gonna go buy my wife? After 30, however many years, what did I buy my wife? Huh? Why do I feel even an obligation to do it? Why don't I buy her something next Thursday? Why do I have to buy her something for Christmas? Where'd that come from? So funny you should ask, Jared. Go to that link that I sent you this morning that says "Merry Christmas." No, that's not. I know who started Christmas. Are you sitting down? Are you sitting down? Yeah, Jody, you're right. Whatever's going to buy Michelle will be on sale next Thursday. In fact, I tried to get our family one time to do that. I said, let's celebrate Christmas the Saturday after Christmas because of sales. We can get everything cheap. Oh, no. That defeats the whole spirit of Christmas. Who invented Christmas? Are you sitting down? Huh? Christmas did not originate in the Christian religion. It came from the ancient Romans. I got to get rid of this so I can see it. Every year in December, they held a festival called Saturnalia in honor of their god Saturn. The festival ran for a week starting in December 17th up to December 23rd. Saturnalia was a time of freedom and pleasure without consequence. People could do what they wanted, and the law wouldn't punish them. In fact, all courts of law were closed during the week-long festivity. The Romans would take this opportunity to play games, get drunk, go to the Browns, put a dog in the head and a Christmas tree off of it, run about naked and commit sexual acts that would be unacceptable at other times. Even the slaves got a break. But once the rules were reversed, then they could insult their masters. A special banquet was prepared just for the slaves in each household. More disturbing, the Romans would choose an innocent person to be a type of scapegoat during the festival. This person would be considered the enemy of the community, and he or she would be forced to sell indulgences in many ways for a week before being killed. The Christians use a clever tactic to get people to convert. Friendship evangelism. The Christians use a clever tactic to get people to convert to their religion. They took the popular Roman festivals and change them to fit into Christianity. While the names change, the custom and practices stayed the same. Right? When in Rome, be like the Romans, right? You heard that? It reassured people that they could convert to the new religion and still keep their old practices. Since Saturnalia was the major feast of the year, the Christians made it the birthday of their Savior. However, the actual Christmas day itself, December 25th, was not the last day of Saturnalia. It was the day of Sol Invictus, the invincible sun. Sol Invictus was part of the Roman warrior cult in which the figure of Mithras appears. And later it supplanted Saturnalia. No matter if it was the sun god or Saturn, it was not originally Christian. Back then, Christians knew full well that day was not really Jesus' birthday. It was just to let the pagans assimilate their religion faster. Many Christian symbols and customs can be traced back to the pagans. The Christmas tree was taken from the Asherah cult, another tree worshiping cults. The mistletoe appears in the Norse mythology as the arrow that killed the god Balder. It was also used by the Druids. Gift exchanges began as offerings made to the god Saturn, and sometime people began exchanging gifts among themselves. Popular gifts included earthenware, writing tablets, wax candles, and later on, the Christians invented the figure of St. Nicholas or Santa Claus, who gave presents to all the children. Some Christian groups have made attempts to stop the observation of Christmas. However, they've proven unsuccessful. To today, even people of other faiths. Think about this. Today, people of other faiths or no faith at all celebrate this worldwide holiday. Christmas is an American governmental holiday. What do you think God Jesus thinks about that? What do you think about that, Jeff Nell? What do you think about that?
It's paganism.
It's paganism. Now, listen, I'm not being bah humbug, right? I think we can take what the devil meant for bad and turn it into good. I think we can take Christmas and honor God in Christmas. But we can only do that with truth. We can only do that with truth. In other words, tell our children this is not his birthday. This is not really his birthday. Let them know the real story that goes on there. And what the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus is far more important to our lives than his birth. Yeah. Oh, don't right wing watch or grab that. His birth got him here to do the job he came to do. So his incarnation was important in that it was the beginning of his mission here on earth. All right. So at Christmas, when we sit around the Christmas tree with our children and our grandchildren, we offer them Christmas gifts, we ought to be explaining to them exactly what this event was all about. And folks, it wasn't about his birth. It was about his death.
And amen.
And freeing us to serve him. Anybody think I'm crazy on that one?
More importantly, Coach, it was about the resurrection, because if there's no resurrection, there's no hope.
And why did he resurrect us, Dale? Resurrect us to do what, right?
Well, the resurrection, he wasn't the first person to ever be resurrected from the dead. The fact is that he never saw death after that. He arose. It is the demonstration of the victory for the Christian in this world. Jesus come to destroy every work of darkness, but he come to establish everything to its original state of what it was. It wasn't just mankind. It was for all creation. The whole earth groans with anticipation because everything fell that day Adam fell. And he came back to restore. That mission was to restore everything in the world, not just man.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Hey, this ties back to what we were discussing here the last couple of weeks.
Okay. Right.
He came back to reconquer, to reclaim. Now, this what I'm going to lay on you here isn't for the kids, okay, but it's for the men. He's not a baby in the manger anymore.
Amen.
He is the Lion of Judea, our fortress and our high tower. He came to reconquer the world, to reclaim his kingdom. He is at war with Satan and his allies. Man as a race have been collaborators. Mm-hmm. So now the king has come across the water. And he lands on the shore and he says, what? Rally to me. He
New
raises his
town.
Standard. He sets his signal fires bright. Rally to me, he says, boys, rally. We are to surrender to him because we've been in rebellion against him. We're to accept the amnesty that he offers, his pardon. We submit to him as our king and our commander. We then take up his standard, his cross, and what? We follow him, and he conquers. Mm. So Larry and Dale, you guys can, there's just all kinds of chapters and verse through the Old and the New Testament that says just that. That's
Amen,
why he's
Lord.
Here.
That's right.
For the army of God. The army of God.
Hey,
he's recruiting.
Hey,
yeah,
Coach.
Yes.
Man, that's awesome what Lowell shared and what Dale shared about the resurrection. You know, think about it. How often is it taught in Christian churches today that it's really all about the resurrection of the dead? And Christ was the first fruit of that. We're almost never taught that. But if you think about it, Dale nailed it. Without the resurrection, we have absolutely no hope. But yet we have 100% hope because we will be resurrected, those of us that know Christ.
Well, George, see, maybe I haven't said it today. I'm typing something here. That's the point I like to make all the time, see, that our Christmas cycle, our cycle in our churches is what? Christmas, he's born. Easter, he dies. We do Christmas. We take 6 weeks to get ready for Christmas. And then we take a month to get ready for Easter. And then we recycle it every year. Our entire church experience is focused around those two holidays, neither of which is a true Christian holiday. You say, well, Coach, it's just tradition. Yeah, okay. Well, hey, Jared, go to Matthew 15:9, will you? Matthew 15:9. Oh, Lord. I get it. There's something wrong when drunk people are singing Christmas carols. Sorry. Matthew 15:9. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments and traditions of men. There we are. So I'm not going to, you know, I don't want to humbug you to death here today about whether or not we ought to be having Christmas. I would think probably in our own heart we all understand it. And I still would say this. Others would disagree with me. There's no way to clean it up. There's no way to clean it up. It really isn't. But there certainly is a way to explain to your children what it's about.
Hello, Coach.
Yes.
I see it as there are the two most powerful forces in the universe are these. One, the blood of Christ, and two, the power of the resurrection. Mm. I don't think there's anything that is more powerful than this in the whole creation, in all of creation.
So why did Christ want us not to fear death? Why was that such an emphasis that we not be afraid to die?
Coach, that is an excellent point. Because and that's another thing I taught last week. In the early church, when you even look at Simeon in Luke chapter 2, closing out, he says, "Behold, my eyes have seen the salvation." He says, "And now I can rest in peace." Corinthians says, and those who dishonored about taking communion, it says they went to sleep. The early church in the First Testament, they didn't believe you died. They simply believe you went to sleep. We're not afraid of sleeping. We're afraid of death because it's something we can't control. It's the fear of self.
And he said, don't be afraid to die. Why? Because I'm living in you. You're already dead. You're already a dead man. You traded your mortal life for my immortality. Don't be afraid to die. Stand up. Defend me. Speak the truth. See, Jesus didn't die on that cross just because he loves little old you. That's the message. That's the Christmas message as well. We all love everybody, right? And we never move in our Christmas Christian churches. We never move from a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes or a guy hanging on a cross. We never go to what my buddy Lowell just said about the soon coming king. Is it Revelation 11, Jared? No, Revelation 21?
Yeah, he has fire in his eyes.
Revelation 21.
In his hands.
I think that's where it is. I could be wrong. Revelation 21. Yeah. Folks, listen. This is Jesus now. This is him now. He's not a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. And he's not a crucified, broken man hanging on a cross. And I saw heaven open, behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called what? Faithful and true, and in righteousness. What's he do? He judges and makes war. Now, hang on. If he's living in us, shouldn't we be doing the same thing he's doing? Christ in us, the hope of glory. And if he's going to come back and he's going to, in righteousness, judge and make war, shouldn't we be in righteousness, judging and making war now? Spiritual war? His eyes were a flame of fire. He was having many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. Not eggnog. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses. Who'd that be? Huh? Who'd that be? Clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword that with it he should smite. This is a story you ought to read at Christmas. This is a Christmas story. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword that with it he shall smite who? But he loved everybody. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. I thought he was going to forgive them. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the, wait a minute. And he treadeth the winepress of the love and kindness of Almighty God. The tolerance and diversity. No, fierceness and wrath. That's how he's behaving when he comes back. He's already done the baby thing. And he's already done the crucified thing. He hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings. He's got a tattoo, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Wow. Ain't no babe wrapped in swaddling clothes.
Thank you, Coach. Right.
I beat on this pretty good this morning. Go ahead, Dale.
The fact of the matter is, and it's not a doom and gloom, a dark Charlie Brown moment, America's going to fall. It doesn't matter who's in the White House, because every kingdom, every king, and every nation has fallen before us. For there is only one kingdom that will never end. And it says, upon his shoulder shall be the governments of this earth, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Every other one is going to fall. Every other one's going to bow. And they're going to bow to Jesus.
Amen, brother. Amen. Going to whether I like it or not. Okay, Dale just said something that just, hey, we're in the huddle, man. What can I say? Hey, hey, Jared, click on this. I want to give you all a warning. I have to switch gears here real quick because I won't get to say this.
Hey, I figured out what my nickname is. My nickname is Tyson Hill. I'm a versatile player wherever you need me, Coach.
Sounds good to me, buddy. Been playing good this morning. I want to connect a dot here for you, okay? I think the most amazing things happen and we don't realize it. In regards to the border wall. Stay with me a second. I saw this yesterday so clearly. Well, government shut down, right? Now, stay with me. Trump had a Republican House, which he lost. So he came back and he demanded the Republican House put money in there to build a wall. So the Republicans, to save their own skin, voted in a wall. Some of those guys are leaving. They're not even going to be there. They say, what the hell? It doesn't matter. We'll pass that thing. It ain't going to matter. It's going to go to the Senate. They ain't going to pass it in there. So they all passed it so they could say that they passed a border wall. Okay? They know. They ain't worried about it. So Trump comes along and he shuts down the government. And the reason he's shutting down the government is because they don't have the votes in the Senate to do it. They don't have the votes to do it. Flake said he wouldn't do it. Corker said he ain't going to do it. They don't have enough votes to do what they call the nuclear option, just make it a majority. They don't have enough votes to do it. So Trump said, that's cool, shut it down. I shut it down. And so when they open it back up, boys and girls, here's what I think. There's going to be a new Congress. And the new Congress is going to come back with a bill already sitting on the desk for the Senate to have to deal with. And the Senate's going to come back with 53-47 and some of those rhinos gone. And Mitch McConnell's going to say, okay, well, we're going to use a nuclear option and we're going to pass it 53-47. That's what's going to happen. When they open up the Congress again, it will be the new Senate dealing with a Republican passed bill. Anybody seeing this but me? That's what I think is going on. So in relationship to that, I want to give you this thought. Jared, go back to our stuff. I saw this yesterday, and this really witnessed with me as well. So I want you all to pick it up. Click on the Hal Turner show, Jared, the first thing. I saw this in four different places this morning. Hal Turner's kind of a conspiracy theorist, guys. That's okay. Here's what I want you to do. I want to give you, hey Jared, go to the very end. Go to the very end. Shorten this down a little bit, Jared. I don't know if you guys know this or not. Steve Mnuchin, there he is. The head of the Secretary Mnuchin convened all the bank CEOs of the six largest banks. He had a meeting with them on Saturday, I think it was. Called them all together. And wanted to find out, you know, the stock market's kind of a little, the banks all confirmed ample liquidity is available for lending. Mnuchin got these guys together to make sure if they're solid. You got the money? I'm telling you something, boys. The deep state is desperate. And they are hell-bent on making sure that they're not found out what's going on. And the only way they can do it is through a financial collapse. My opinion. So Mnuchin gets all these guys together. Hey, you can check this. Google it. I'm not making this up. Google it. They all confirmed they have enough money. He got them all together and he sat down with them. Tomorrow, that's Sunday, the secretary will convene a call with the president's working group on financial markets. They're trying to do a plunge protection thing because they know something's going on here, right? Now, here's why I'm telling you this. Scroll on down, Jared. See that we continue to see strong economic growth? No. So look at this. Here's what Hal Turner says. Take it with a grain of salt. You do what you want to do. Hal Turner said, I personally think you should. Well, hang on again. Now we may have a better idea why President announced all American troops are ordered from home from Syria and Afghanistan, and why all but two U.S. Navy carriers and battle groups arrived back in their home ports December 17th and haven't moved since. Moments ago, my son and I went to the nearest ATM and took out the amount allowable, maximum amount allowable, from each of our checking accounts. It didn't match $700. I'm trying to get this thing so I can see it, Jared. No, there it is. I personally think you should go get some cash out of the bank. If you don't have some, go get some. Are your gas tanks filled up? If not, go fill them up. Because if the credit goes down, he talks about, man, oh, man. So this guy says, I'm in my pajamas right now. I'm going to the ATM. I'm getting out money, and I'm filling up my tank. So Hal Turner says, the fact that such a telephone call even took place is terrifying. And the fact that it is now leaked that such telephone calls from Mnuchin to the banks took place could have only come from the bankers themselves. Perhaps a final warning. We may just have a few hours or days left of normal. For the government to announce they are having a presidential meeting with plunge protection team ought to tell you all you need to hear to decide whether or not to get some money out the bank. Okay, now look, he said not money to pay your bills, but enough cash that you can survive a couple weeks if something were to go down. Boom, I threw that on the table. Anybody think he's crazy? I think it's good advice.
So, Coach, if I don't have money in the bank, should I still go to the bank and take some money out of there?
Well, that's no problem. You could try it. Yeah, you could try it.
Oh, snap. I guess that don't work.
Yep.
Coach, you're talking about two aircraft carriers. I've been on five aircraft carriers in the Navy, okay?
Yeah.
That's a conspiracy theory. They're pulling apart to give morale to the troops. And those ships are not deployed to be used for a political move to project power. They're going home to celebrate the holidays. So that part of it, I totally disagree with.
Well, no, I think what he meant was, you know, he's got them all mad, Jeff, because he's bringing the troops home. They're mad at him, right? All these warmongers that didn't want to have war, and he's pulling them out of Syria, they're mad. He's going to pull them out of Afghanistan, they're mad. And I think the point Hal Turner's making is our troops are going to be needed at home. That was the point I think he was.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Just a quick word on your prediction about the Senate going to pass the bill. If you look, I'm presenting, I don't know if you can read it or not, but once Congress adjourns, however, at the end of its two-year cycle, all bills that have been introduced in either the House or Senate that have not made it through the entire legislative process and signed into law are dead.
Oh, there it is. Okay. I didn't know that. So much for that theory, huh? So much for that theory. Thumbs up. Roger, how you feeling?
I'm feeling good. We're about 10 days post. God's good. The healing's coming along. And I'm thankful for all the men of the huddle that checked in on me. It was wonderful and beautiful.
Good to have a family that acts like they care about you. Doesn't mean they care about you.
Comments.
They act like it. They act like it. Couple minutes here. Let's finish this thing up. I say go get some money. Get some money out so you can pay your bills for a couple weeks if you have to. If not, put it back in the bank. It'd be better to have the cash available than not have it. That would be my
closed today.
No, everything's open today, but they won't be open tomorrow. So, you know, it is what it is. What else? Somebody help me wrap it up.
Hey, Coach, does anybody know how much we're allowed to take out without any red flags when we go in the bank?
10,000.
Yeah, 10,000.
Whether deposit or withdraw, it automatically sends a notice to the IRS anything over 10,000.
See, Serge, I'm just talking about whether a credit freeze would happen, whether it be for 2 days or 3 days or a week or whatever. If that were to happen, most people live by credit cards, don't they? Especially these young millennials at the football game yesterday. It's all credit cards. Everything you do, credit cards, you know? And so there are people who live like that who have no cash. And so if there were to be a credit freeze, that's all I'm saying. Have some cash on hand that you can go and buy and get some gas, all that stuff.
Hey, Coach, I've seen people buying coffee at the local, you know, Sheets or whatever, the convenience store with the credit card. They don't have a place to buy coffee.
They don't have they do it on their debit card and probably don't even keep track of it on their debit card, the way I see it, you know. And so cash is still king. Not trying to scare anybody, ho-ho. Not trying to bow humbug it. But it would make sense to me to go out and make sure you have some cash on hand.
Hey, for those in the queue, since there's kind of a lull in the process here, I'm putting in the text a link to a YouTube video. And those of you that are my generation, you might be familiar with the song Waltzing Matilda, Australian song.
Yeah.
Well, that Waltzing Matilda was originally, the melody and the original words were written in 1895, and the original words were kind of stuff about a silly Australian named animal drinking out of an Australian named whatever they call a pond and stuff and so forth around the country. And it's a good song with a great catchy melody. But in 1971, an Australian anti-war protester wrote new words to the song, which have since 71 become almost the official, it's not the national anthem, but the national song of Australia. And I'm going to play it for my entire family when they're at my house 2 days after Christmas as the segue, as the opening to not only mention why Jesus, you know, why we have Christmas, but also to mention part of our responsibility of citizens of our country. So when this show is over, I recommend don't close your meeting, Google meeting thing out yet, but go to that YouTube link and watch, listen to, and they have the words typed on it, so you can read the words too.
Somebody said your link doesn't work, Larry.
Yeah, it's not working.
So you got the wrong one. So folks, listen, Larry, stick it back in there. Whatever's in there doesn't work. So folks, listen, as you gather around your Christmas tree tomorrow, and as you gather around with your family, try to emphasize the stuff that we spoke about here today. We've got to begin a re-education system of Christians. We got to get Christians to know exactly what's going on. So talk about it. Talk about dying to yourself and laying down your life and why Christ, why he came and why he really had to do it. Even if it makes everybody in the room uncomfortable, it's one opportunity you'll have to do.
Go ahead, Jared, help me out. Did this link work yesterday when you went and watched it? Okay, well, maybe Jared hasn't.
Yeah, it says video unavailable. That's all it says. So, Jared will get it back in there for us. Ho, 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 Merry Christmas. Enjoy the day with your family. I'm sleeping in tomorrow with my wife. We'll see you on, it'll be Wednesday, right? Wednesday morning. God bless you.